You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Alan R. Rowland.
Alan L. Rowland.
Oh, it is an L. I'm sorry.
It's Dr. Alan L. Rowland.
Oh, boy. Oh, okay. We're coming out of the ring fighting already. Dr. Alan R. Rowland. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, I discovered Alan's work through an excellent article he wrote for Veterans Today on the near-death experience. Dr. Rowland spent 5 years in the Navy and 10 years as a stockbroker and lived to talk about it. He then experienced a radical transformation towards inner spiritual work, got a master's degree in psychology, and developed a practice as a therapist. In 1976, he published Conscious Love, The Ultimate Energy. In the 1980s, he took an 8-year sabbatical from his counseling practice to empower the nonprofit sector while pursuing a path of deep personal research into soul consciousness and the unified field. In 1987, he completed his personal quest to reunite with this inner state of soul consciousness and personally proved that the unified field of love exists beyond time and space as the sole constant of the universe. In 1998, he completed his PhD in spiritual psychology. He finished 2 more books, lectures, does workshops, and writes for many periodicals and that are on the Internet. So you can find out more at www.alanrowland.com. So let's welcome Alan to the show now again. Hi, Alan. How are you?
Hi, Lance. It's great being on your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I really enjoyed your article on the near-death experience and have been reading some of your other writings, and I think it might be good to start, for the listeners anyway, about your life's experience, because you experienced the material side fully through the military, through marriage and children, and through Wall Street. Then you did almost a complete turnaround. What compelled you to go within and do that reversal of direction?
Falling in love.
Oh, okay. That'll do it.
Most of my life was basically as a stockbroker. My whole modus operandi was making money. It was all ego-driven. And only when I opened my heart did I realize there was another whole part of me that was missing in action.
Oh.
And what I did was totally surrender to the pain. I knew that part of me as a young child, but I separated from it like most of us do.
Uh-huh.
And only by going through that psychic pain did I fall like through a rabbit hole and found me, found this little boy inside of me who always wanted to own this truth. And so that's when I started that. And there's, interestingly enough, Lance, I just wrote a column today on one of the people who was very, very instrumental in me and owning this gift for the unified field. And that person is Stanley Krippner. You ever heard of Stanley Krippner?
No, I haven't.
Stanley Krippner is one of the foremost psychologists, parapsychologists in the world. He just turned 80 years old.
Wow.
So there was a big article in San Francisco Weekly called The Psychic World of Stanley Krippner. He's been working with ESP and tremendous work, 500 papers, 100 volumes, co-authored, co-edited, on a wide variety of topics in psychology, consciousness, psychotherapy, and parapsychology. So I decided this week, since it was his 80th birthday, and he was my mentor for my master's degree, and also my second reader for my doctoral thesis, that I should honor him. And so I wrote an article called An Angel Turns 80, Stanley Krippner.
Wow.
And because he has basically influenced so many people. But I want to tell you about one incident which ties in with your question.
Okay.
And in 1972, after I surrendered to my own pain, most of us live in pain, very few of us know that underneath our pain, psychic pain, is love, joy, intention, and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Quite honestly, most people are afraid of their joy. They're not afraid of their pain. Most people are walking around this planet in pain. But very mm-hmm. few know that underneath it is joy, intention, and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since I've lived my life lived my dream so fully as a fighter pilot in the Navy. That's what I always wanted to do, is be a fighter pilot. Carrier pilot, 150 landings from the carrier, flying supersonic jets.
Wow.
That stuff. And when I finally allowed myself to love that deeply and let go and went through the pain, because it was a relationship in which I should basically was heading for a disaster, when I let go, I went through all that pain that I had basically been holding, been running away from my whole life, and part of me knew that the only way I could get any further was to surrender to the pain. So mm-hmm. probably the most courageous thing that I ever did was just surrender to the pain, trusting, intuitively trusting that and loving that deeply, I had found a part of me that I always wanted to embrace. And I was right. And when I did surrender to that, it's like my whole world changed. And I had a dream that I was going to write a book called Conscious Love, the Ultimate Energy.
Mm.
And that's when I decided that feeding people's egos and making money was not my path. My path was to share this truth and touch people. So that's where I basically transferred from making people money to saving people's souls.
Oh.
So anyway, it was in 1972 when I decided to get my master's degree in clinical psychology at the Sonoma State University in Cotati, California. And at that time, I was making a transition from the broker's business to the counseling profession. And I had this dream that I was going to write a book called Conscious Love, the Ultimate Energy. Well, this is where Stanley comes in. So I was accepted in this master's program at Sonoma State University.
Mm.
Stan Krippner was leading a special 3-day conference for the pilot program that I was about to attend. This is a great story, Lance. So in the opening session, Stan individually asked a group of about 20 of us what their master's thesis topic was going to be. And when he turned to me, I was very nervous about this because here I am, stockbroken, all this stuff. Here I am talking about conscious love. I'm having all these paranormal events that are happening left and right. But I knew that he was supposed to be my mentor for some reason. So I said, okay, what are you going to do, Roland? And I very nervously announced that I was going to write a book entitled Conscious Love, the Ultimate Energy. And there was some laughter around the room, and Stanley pointed to me and said, prove it, which produced even more laughter. So here I was, saying my truth. I'm going to write a book called Conscious Love, the Ultimate Energy, being laughed at, but that didn't bother me, because I had said yes to myself. So the conference ended about a few days later, which is what life is all about. Lance is saying yes to yourself. Even when you're being laughed at, saying yes to yourself, because the whole universe is saying yes to you. So anyway.
Very nice.
Well, the conference ended a few days later, and much to my chagrin, I had not made a meaningful contact with Stanley, except for that brief exchange. But intuitively, I knew that this was an important contact for me. But Stan was leaving and flying to New York. He's always going to very important meetings. So while carrying my bags to my bag to leave the place where I was staying, to leave the premises, something told me not to leave. So I listened. Something inside said, don't leave. So I put my bags down, wandered over to the dining room, completely surrendering to whatever was guiding me, totally just trusting that somehow I wasn't supposed to leave. No one was in the dining room, so I peeked into the kitchen and noticed that somebody was washing dishes. He seemed to be part of the cleanup crew and immediately recognized me as one of the participants in the master's conference. He asked me if I could share a glass of wine with him and chat for a few minutes, so I did. And he told me that he felt that the whole conference was revolving around him. And I very gently but compassionately and directly told him that he was actually out to lunch, that what was happening at all, and that how long had he been doing this? And I really helped him see that basically that was not serving him. So we finished our wine. He thanked me. and I now knew I could leave the premises. I had no idea what this was all about, but I completely surrendered to it and simply fully showed up at the moment. Later that evening, Stan Kripner called me at home and told me that he was canceling his trip to New York the next day and wanted to meet with me in Sausalito, and he blocked off the whole afternoon. You can imagine my excitement. So I accepted his invitation, and I spent the next afternoon together with Stan Kripner. And then he told me that his driver had come back from the seminar the previous evening after working all afternoon with the kitchen crew, and he seemed like a changed person and made a dramatic shift in behavior and attitude. And so when Stanley asked him what had happened, his name was Leonard, he said that he had an extremely illuminating conversation with one of the conference participants and was now seeing differently. Hmm. So Stan asked him, what was the participant's name? And he said, Alan Rowland. And he suddenly realized, oh, my God, this guy has proven it. He suddenly realized that he indeed demonstrated that conscious love was the ultimate energy by facilitating a complete change in his driver's or Leonard's behavior. And I had no idea of their relationship. Stan then also knew he had to work with me, and he became my supervisor and mentor for my master's degree, which was my book, Conscious Love, the Ultimate Energy, as well as eventually the second reader for my doctoral dissertation, which explained and demonstrated the truth of the unified field. And to this day, he remains an ongoing source of encouragement and support. So actually what I've done, I've proven to Stan at the base of ESP could well be cemented in a field of universal love and a state of soul consciousness existing on time and space, and a state which I have clearly demonstrated in my work with clients, combat veterans with PTSD. Mm. Combat veterans with PTSD, they've been wounded. Their souls have been wounded. I go in and get them because basically I connect them with a child inside themselves, and they come out from hiding. It has to be somebody who's not afraid of their pain. So, interestingly enough, Stan, look at this this way, Lance. There's no doubt in my mind that our lives are divinely guided. I, even though I was a fighter pilot and a stockbroker, but I was just feeding my ego in a lot of ways. Although being a fighter pilot was living a dream. I knew that if I could do that and have 156 carrier landings flying in all-weather supersonic jets, there was nothing I couldn't do.
Well.
But that was mainly a prelude to having the courage to open up my heart and completely become me.
Right.
And be able to touch people by just being myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Kripner. So I know our lives are divinely guided. And my path, I'm totally in sync with my destiny. But Stan Kripner was part of it. And even though he didn't know it, the only way we touch was when I had the courage to say, I'm going to write a book called Conscious Love, the Ultimate Energy. Mm. And when I said that and spoke it, something happened because it is the ultimate energy. And then it was almost like this person inside me said, get out of the way, Alan. We're going to make this happen. So by totally surrendering and just intuitively just following and listening inside, I proved it with his own driver, you know, Leonard. And Leonard made a total shift in consciousness, which is exactly what I do with my clients, the same thing. Because I'm not afraid of what they're afraid of, and I know the bottom line is love. There's no such thing as an ugly soul, Lance.
Hmm. In all that time, you've never met anybody who's been absolutely evil and driven and committed to destruction?
Of course. I've met people like that. But those people, ego, evil, is it's ego consciousness gone to its
to the
degree.
Right.
And the nth degree.
It seems like a few of those people are the ones that are running the world today.
Well, some of them are. However, see, the key is this. This is why my real mentor from Beyond Time and Space is Teilhard de Chardin, whose great quote is, if there was no real urge to unite indeed within the molecule itself, even a prodigiously rudimentary level, it'd be impossible for love to appear higher up in the human form. The magic of what I do is this. I jumpstart people's hearts. So when I get a combat veteran that comes into me, and he's, let's say he's wiped out all these people and he's seen his friends, his soul is scarred.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is this. I go back and find the lost little boy inside of him,
mm-hmm.
who long before he went into service probably shut down and decided that being himself is not enough. You know the word. You know what the magic is? It's gratitude. I get people to start thanking these people in their lives that they've never thanked. Mm. And I'll give you one example.
Okay.
One person, his name is Jason. My last group, Band of Brothers 11. I've done 11 of these groups over the last 2 years. And the only person he never let in his whole life was his grandfather. And when his grandfather died at 19 years old, he did too. Psychically, he died. He just paid the pain over the joy, and he literally checked out.
Yeah.
Numbed out, and never let anybody in since then. Nobody. So I've got to explain a little bit, Lance, about psychic pain.
Okay.
Psychic pain is a seeming separation from love. It's the most devastating pain we can experience as human beings. There's three types of pain. Physical, ooh, okay, and pure, like having an ulcer or something. And then the psychic, the seeming separation from love.
Mm-hmm.
James Lynch wrote a book called The Broken Heart, The Medical Consequences of Loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And case after case after case of people dying of heart disease 6 months after their mate died because they don't want to live. We know mm-hmm. there's at least five links between the brain and the immune system. You can literally turn off your immune system.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, you can do that. And
yeah.
so they don't want to live. And so guess what? The body gets the message, and they shut down and die. Usually like 6 months after the mate dies. So within the limbic system of the brain, right in the brainstem, the top of the brainstem, is the hypothalamus.
Mm-hmm.
Controls the whole autonomic nervous system of your body, eating, sleeping, blood pressure, sexual functioning, all this stuff, weight control, all conducted by the hypothalamus to release your agents to the pituitary gland and endocrine system. Now, what happens when the pain center is pressed in the hypothalamus for 24 hours or more? This comes out of Mantra's Essentials on Clinical Neuroanatomy and there's another book, too, which I can't quite remember right now. But two books, which is standard test for all medical students, is what happens is this. If the pain center is pressed in the hypothalamus for 24 hours or more, the animal will die. Two, pain overrides the joy.
Uh-huh.
Painful memories take precedence over joyful memories. And three, all types of psychosomatic illness will occur to show that you've disconnected. Out of this pain and aloneness, guess what, Lance? The ego is born. You become whatever you have to become in order to be loved versus who you really are because you're convinced that being you is not enough. So that's when we check out. That's when I checked out at 6 years old when I was taken away from my beloved grandfather, who I just loved so deeply I could feel love leap from my heart at 6 years old. That's when I checked out, too. I was totally convinced that being me was not enough. And I became like my older brother, Rock Jr. Okay, but through a lot of my life, being him instead of being me. But that decision was not made from a place of joy. It was made from a place of pain and aloneness.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
only when I fully opened my heart did I basically get in touch with me. And only when I let go, looking outside, the ego is always externalizing the inner quest. Only when I let go of the object that I was looking for and surrendered to the pain did I go through that pain and found me. Now, notice how this is exactly like a near-death experience.
Mm.
Going through a dark tunnel.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that dark tunnel is ego consciousness.
Oh,
and
okay.
then seeing the light. The light is you. So, this
That's
is what
interesting.
Happened.
Interesting.
But right next to the biological clock is the, right next to the hypothalamus, the pain reward center, is a biological clock. So, if you were just, say, Lance, that you were just, you know, born and in the first 6 years of your life, you would just spend all alone, isolated by yourself. biologically, you'd stop growing too. You just stop, because you need love. You need something, some type of love to grow. So what happens is this, since there's usually somebody there, emotionally we stop growing. So inside of me was a six-year-old little boy. And only when I totally opened my heart did I find him. And that's when I had the dream I was going to write a book called Conscious Love, The Ultimate Energy. That's when my whole world changed, and I got on the path of the heart. Mm. And everything, my every key relationship I've had, I've dreamed about that person before I met them, including my beloved Keiko, who is now, as I'm washing dishes in the kitchen, listening to me. But I dreamed about Keiko before I met her. So the soul contains the event that shall befall it. When you're in sync with your heart and a state of soul consciousness, you already know. Just like me, knowing that Stan Krippner was going to be my mentor, although I couldn't make it happen, what I did was surrender and it happened.
Hmm.
That's what it's like when you're in this field of love. It exists beyond time and space. That's what it's like when you're in a state of soul consciousness. It's the ultimate yes to yourself. It's a place of surrender. So, with my clients, like that person I was just talking about, Jason, he told me the only person he ever let in was his grandfather. I remember taking him by the hand, and I said, your grandfather's here right now.
Mm.
And all you have to do is become the person you were with your grandfather. And believe me, he's telling you right now. It's instead of basically grieving his departure, celebrate him. Celebrate what an incredible gift he was in your life and how deeply you loved him. Just celebrate him.
Yeah.
And so guess what? He shifted. It was like Lazarus coming out of the tomb.
Wow.
He shifted. Why? Because he suddenly remembered how deeply he loved his grandfather, and that love still lived inside him. That's what I do in my work.
Wow, that
it's
is
called...
powerful.
That is powerful.
And so basically what you're saying is that pretty much anybody that we all have souls, even people with difficult circumstances, the secret to this connection with the unified field or soul consciousness and ESP and psychic abilities then would to go within and get in touch with that inner child and the love that you felt for whoever it was that was close to you when you started forming your ego.
Yes. So I want you to know something. There's not one person in my life that I have not thanked. The key, the path of the soul is through doors of fear. But the lifeblood of soul consciousness is gratefulness. So when I see these people, like I'm working with veterans, even a client, and they do a life chart, a life chart. After the first session, they do a life chart of their whole life. I'm doing the same thing that happens in a near-death experience. When you see your whole life, it's a graph.
Right, right.
But I put it all down graphically, and I said, see all these people, that's a person. Who's that person remind you of? Oh, my God, it reminded me of my grandmother. Good. Boom, boom. And why was your first wife a gift? Oh, my God. She was, yes, because I opened my heart and I ran away from love. Yes, but she was still a gift, wasn't she? What I do is I have these people thank these people immediately. Call that person up and thank them. She was a gift in your life, or he was a gift in your life. So when you start thanking people, you're acknowledging that you were loved. And what happens, you can literally feel your heart open. Like
wow.
You know, your heart open. So the magic, God only reveals himself or itself to a grateful heart.
Huh.
No, it's basically getting people to come from grateful. Of course, the last person you're most grateful to is you. For having the courage to do this.
Right, that's right. Absolutely. Do you feel that the soul is a kind of continuum in which birth and death are illusions, and that there's some kind of pre-incarnational planning that goes on before?
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
I've got no doubt in my mind. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind, Lance, that I've been here before. There's no doubt in my mind that Keiko, my beloved Keiko, and I were probably twins of another lifetime ago. I mean, we were destined to be together. So I know my life is divinely guided. So it's like we put on earth a little... Actually, I love that quote from William Blake, who died singing songs to his wife. You know who William Blake is.
Oh, yes.
The great visionary poet, etc. We have put on earth a little space that bears the beams of love. died singing songs to his wife. Okay. Because that's what it's all about. So, and the evening of this life is on love. We shall be judged, and we'll judge ourselves. No one's going to judge us. Did you open up your heart? Did you surrender to love? Or did you spend most of your life trying to prove yourself? Okay, whoops, I'm going to have to come back and do it again.
Right.
That's right. You've got to understand, love is the ether. We all exist in this place. God is love, an evolutionary process in which we all participate as co-creators. So that puts the responsibility on us. So we come here to do what? Show up, share our gift. Now, my unified field is definitely my gift. Oh, the basic underlying uniting force of the universe is a psychic energy field of love and soul consciousness, which exists not only beyond time and space, but also beneath our deepest fears. And its principal property is the universal urge to unite. That's happening throughout the planet. It's happening throughout the planet. Now, if you Google the unified field, you'll see 5.8 million references to it. I'm number four. I'm number four. Actually, number three.
Wow.
On Wikipedia and something. And I've been there from some time. It's a truth. So what's deepest within us is love, not anger, hate. Even Richard Leakey, when he wrote The Beginnings of Mankind, said it's not about survival of the fittest. He said it's about altruism and social cooperation among the earliest hunter-gatherers. Even Scientific America came out with a computer study and saying, wait, right from the molecule itself, it's about social cooperation and altruism. It's about cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just, mankind is just beginning to realize we all have to come together.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I have 1,000,000,000,000% behind that statement. And you have several tenets that you developed with the unified field. And one of the tenets, the first one actually, includes the idea that this field of love is the absolute constant of the universe, in that within it, time and space do not exist.
That's absolutely true.
Isn't that interesting that yesterday was the end of the Mayan calendar, which was a significant date for many people, the winter solstice, and we're having this show the day after, and we're talking about love and the unified field. I mean, if that isn't powerful.
Yes, and the second tenet is the consciousness of the observer determines how you can experience the unified field.
Right.
And the third tenet was what I just talked about, how pain overrides joy. And what happens, that's when the ego is born, when we separate from our real self. And the ego is a projection of what we feel we have to be.
Right.
To be loved versus who we really are. Our yearning.
Right.
Our yearning is for ourselves. Not
that's
from some magic person who's going to make us feel great. No, it's ourself. And not only that, it's for what our authentic vocation is within this loving plan.
Right.
So, as I said, God is love, an evolutionary process in which we all participate as co-creators. So we're all part of this loving plan. Each one of us has a part to play. The only reason I'm playing my part is because I've surrendered to love. That's my joy. But it's not just Keiko, where I have total joy. My joy is knowing I'm part of something bigger than me and I'm playing a part in it.
Right,
and that's it. That's what I came here to do. Going back to reincarnation, that's what I came here to do.
Yeah.
And that is what fills me with profound joy, at knowing that I'm playing my part in this loving plan.
Wow. Well, now, how do the majority of people who are herded into corporate jobs or, you know, some people have to have 2 and 3 jobs just to survive, we're bombarded with manipulation from the television, buy this, buy that. They're gearing babies now to buy things. They're already marketing to babies. Everywhere we go, there's billboards, signs, the internet. And on top of that, you know, there are things that dumb us down, fluoride and chemtrails and all kinds of things, GMOs and the rest of it. How do people, the majority of people, how do they... how can they break through this this wall of falsity to become authentic, when we're told who we are supposed to be by social media, you should do this, you should do that, follow the movie stars, is this just a personal choice that's prompted by a person's inner guidance system, or how do we break through all this manipulation?
Because, you just answered your own question, because we're ensconced in a state of ego consciousness. We're looking outside for answers that are only found inside. That's why. So
right.
We're looking at all this stuff we want to be, and we're not going inside. We will be forced.
Yeah.
To love one another. We will literally be forced. Now,
yeah.
With Teilhard de Chardin, who's my mentor from Beyond Time and Space, remember I said he wrote, if there were no real urge to unite indeed within the molecule itself, it would be impossible for love to appear higher up in the human form. He came up with his law of complexity consciousness. All of evolution is driven by complexity consciousness. We become more complex, and we evolve, and have a greater urge to unite. Well, we now have 7.5 billion people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Teilhard de Chardin also talked about the noosphere, in which all mm-hmm. minds would be connected. Well, isn't that the World Wide Web, Lee? Okay, so what's happening? We're all connected. But what Teilhard only briefly mentioned was the next step, the solosphere, when all of us would be connected through love. We all realize we're one. Now, that's coming because we've got 7 billion people on the planet, 7.5 billion people on the planet. We can't run away from each other. Okay, so...
right.
So we're being literally driven to what? Not kill each other, but to cooperate with one another.
Yes. To come together. Yes.
That's
unify.
What really... Yes. To unify
agree,
and come
not
together.
To divide. Yes, exactly.
That's it. That's
when
the driving...
That also implies the end of religions and politics because they all divide so that they can conquer.
You got it. So all the walls come down. So basically, that's in the process of happening. So when I wrote my story about the Mayan thing, which got something like, God knows, 8,000 reads on Veterans Today, I said, it's already happening. We're just acknowledging that it's happening. We're coming together. A new world is opening up for us. And we realize the name of the game now is social cooperation and altruism. That's why all the injustices are now immediately seen. Immediately seen. And worldwide condemnation. Happened. Okay, so we were never in that place before. And you've got the whole world reacting, just not one part of the world, but the whole world reacting. So I maintain it's happening very fast, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be taking another giant step forward this year. And we'll probably be scared into it. Now, just look at something like Fukushima.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say if that platform finally falls, you know, the pool, and suddenly we've got a world being saturated by radioactivity and cesium-134 or whatever it is. We are right on the verge of something happening where we're going to be forced to cooperate and help one another.
Yeah.
Now, the neat thing about this, that's also the driving force of humanity. Not killing each other. So the whole thing of separating, it's over. It's over. It's coming together.
Yep.
It's going to be happening. Now, each one of us has a part to play in that, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing my part by just opening my heart, realizing, oh, my God, I'm going to write a book called Conscious Love, the Ultimate Energy.
Right.
And then creating all these pieces like Stan Krippner, Teilhard de Chardin, all this stuff, and realizing, my God, Teilhard's talking about, love. It's all about love, and it's all about coming together. And then using all of this to write, and write from that place, which is what I do, as well as my work. But my real joy in my life is knowing that I can touch people at the deepest level and very rapidly get them to a place of another state of consciousness. Within 7 sessions. Okay, so when I do these veterans, they're 8 weeks, once a week. The light goes on. They all, in the fourth, I should explain to you the sessions, what I do with these people. And I can do it, by the way, over the phone. I can do this over the phone.
Why not do it for the listeners in 7 seconds tonight?
Sure. So the first thing you do is... So the first thing I do is I just share the unified field, what it really means, which I've been doing already for the first half hour of this show. Right?
Yes.
Okay. So, but the gift I'm really giving these people is me, living it and knowing it, and not coming from a place of you got to do this, but actually just living it and enjoying it. I spend most of my time with my clients laughing, not at them, and then a place of celebration. Okay, and service. The second step is seeing your life as a quest versus a struggle. So what I do is I have them do this life prep. This is all in my book, Radical Therapy, Surrender Love and Heal Yourself in 7 sessions, not 7 years.
Oh,
it's in the seventh printing. Okay, that they all get a copy of this book. Every single session is in that book. I wrote that book so that people could heal themselves. When
Wonderful.
I do my work with my clients or my veterans, they all have a copy of this book. They all have a copy of the book. You can get it on Amazon, probably about $5.
I suggest people do it.
Okay. So anyway, second tip, you do this life chart. And so you see your whole life as a quest versus struggle. Now, every single key relationship played a role in you finding you. And so the last relationship, I'm sorry, me, Coach Allen. I'm doing it personally. And because it's finally your turn, that's the first thing I have to say. It's my turn. Not so, it's your turn. Have you ever taken your turn? It's your turn. So they see, and so when I sit down at the second session after they do the life chart, I go over the whole life chart with them so they can really see that their life has been a quest, not a struggle, not to find someone else, but to find themselves.
Yeah.
The third session, they take total accountability for their lives, where they stop being victims and they start taking accountability. So all these people they have victim issues with, I do an exercise with them, which is outlined in the book, where they have a chance to see what like being a victim. I hate you for doing this, blah, 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 blah. And they have to take accountability. I'm the one that manifested you in my life. I'm the one that shut down. I'm the one that made the decision to close my heart. I'm the one that blamed you for decisions that I made, blah, blah. And they have a chance to see how light it is being accountable versus how heavy it is being a victim.
Then
they have to take these people they still have resentment with off the hook. They have to take them. This is an action-oriented approach. You must do your homework. So they have to take these people off the hook. They have all this resentment towards and say, I no longer hold you responsible for the feelings I felt, the decision I made. You could not have been any different the way you were. I'm the one that shut down and decided but you were a gift in my life and I love you. Boom. They have to do this. So in the process of doing this, they suddenly become very light. And they realize, oh, my God, I did make all those decisions, didn't I? Then the next session is pretty awesome. That's when they meet the child. See, once they've taken accountability, no longer being a victim, carrying around this ball and chain of victimhood.
Right.
Then they're ready to meet the magical child. And I wanted to tell you something, Lance. I've had 66 combat veterans with PTSD. Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, every one of them has met that child. Every single one of them. I do a visualization, and which they're in this, just a guided meditation, not hypnosis, and they're sitting on this beach, and they see this little boy playing in the surf, or a little girl, because I have women in these groups too, and they see this little boy on the beach, and playing in the surf, just laughing, and they suddenly realize it's them. And he comes running towards you, get up on your knees and hug him. I literally scream it, hug that child. And so they do. Literally, they said, hug that child. And then they have to ask this child some questions. What do I need to do to totally embrace you in my life? And the child always comes through. Surrender. Can I trust Alan? Yes. He's a gift in your life. How important is his work? The most important thing you've ever done. Whatever it is. So they meet the child inside of them. And so I had one child say, how important is this work? And the child said, what do you think I'm doing here on this beach?
Huh.
So So anyway, it's fun doing this stuff. It really is. So their homework is to hang out with this little boy, little girl, and really listen. Be inner guided. So the next session is all about gratitude. I do another exercise where they have to thank. They're in a movie theater and they see their adult years and they see their adolescent years and they see their childhood years. All these people that have loved them and touched them. How many of these people have you thanked? Maybe 5-10%. Okay, this is your homework. Before next week, I want you to thank 20 people.
Oh.
20 of them. This is when the magic really happens.
Wow.
So they go, because most of these people are all alone. They never
right.
let anybody. So once they start thanking people, they realize they've been loved all along.
Huh.
And so then they're beyond the point of no return. And then the next session, I do a death exercise. All of this is in my book, by the way.
I just bought it online. I did. I've got so many friends who need to go through this, myself included. It's wonderful stuff.
Okay. So anyway, this is good. And anyway, so they do a death exercise in which you literally die.
Yeah.
And I have the five people who really knew you. How many people really knew you? And I had them in person there. Did you, and talking to them and saying, why was he gifted? Did you really know him? Did you really know me? No. Okay. Who did know you? Well, my sister knew me. Okay. This one person. Okay. Here's your homework. I want you to be the person you are with your sister with everybody.
No.
Why are you just holding back? So
right.
Just come on, please. Okay. So that's it. But when I do it with the veterans in a group, I have everybody in the room, one by one, die. And we all say goodbye to them. And that includes me. I'm the last. And so, I'm not their therapist. Even in the book, I explain this. I'm their coach.
Right.
It's a level playing field, which makes it far more powerful.
Oh,
it's
a
level playing field.
Yeah.
And so I'm their coach. So I know I'm being loved. And it's like, I am the last guy to die. They all say, oh, my God, blah, 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 whatever it is. And I have a chance to really feel their love, too. And I also say goodbye to them as if they were dying.
Wow.
So I'm actually one of the band of brothers. Literally, one of the band of brothers. And so that's a powerful exercise.
Yeah.
But they all get a chance to experience what it's like to speak from their heart. And they all get a chance to accept love from people who really knew them, because anybody who was in my group is being seen by everybody.
Yeah, right. Right.
So then the last session is all about listening and celebration. Realizing that you're the gift. I do another visualization, too, where you realize you're the gift you've always been looking for. And the robin doesn't sing because it's happy. It's happy because it sings.
Huh.
So
wow.
And that's celebration time. And what I do is that I become their friend forever. Unlike most therapists.
Right.
You know, I have this in the box, I call it. I do short-term therapy, which is somewhat of a disadvantage because I don't, obviously, they're done in 8 sessions. And I don't make that much money that way, but I make a profound difference.
Mm-hmm.
And all my clients are referrals. I love the fact that they're done in 8 sessions. And my favorite session is the last one because I become their friend forever. And I have a chance to watch them fly as their friend. I don't have a codependent relationship where they have to check in with me all the time.
Right.
No. This is what therapy should be like.
That's
people
right.
want to be touched. And
right.
they want to get beyond the therapist's fears. That's why I call myself a coach. I'm really their coach. I can get away with it because I'm their coach. So at the end of this, I literally see the light go on in these guys. I see the light come on. And it's so, how rewarding can that be? So Lazarus coming out of the tomb. That whole Lazarus story, by the way, is exactly the same thing. Lazarus was in a self-imposed tomb.
Mm-hmm.
When
right,
Jesus
right.
touched him, he came out of itself. I see this happen all the time. Like Jason, I was literally Lazarus coming out of the tomb. What did I do? I connected to the love of his grandfather. That was it. He was out.
Wow, that's fantastic. Fantastic. It makes so much sense, and it resonates with me, and it's really what's needed in the world today.
And absolutely.
It just kind of boils down to the message that's been delivered by, you know, singers and gurus and everybody throughout the ages. Love is all there is.
That's right. Well, wait, let's talk about the near-death experience.
Yes, yes.
It's like even Alexander, who just wrote this book about whatever it is, since he was a surgeon, it was sort of a bestseller book. He and I have talked. I've told him all about this. He says, Alan, I totally agree with you. He totally agree. Huh. And so he went through the dark tunnel and all this stuff. Of course, that was just his ego. And then he had this profound feeling, just, Alan, the love was so great. I mean, it was awesome. It was overwhelming. Well, that's what it's like in the field. You know you're loved. You know you're loved. And all you have to do is sing your song. That's why, Lance, that's why when I ever take a walk every day, I hug a tree every day. Why?
Wow.
Because that tree is performing its part in the loving plan. It's not asking questions. It's not basically saying, well, should I show up today? It's showing up every day, bringing out oxygen during the day, storing it at night. It's part of the loving plan. Are we no different?
Yeah.
So most people are not afraid of dying, Lance. They're afraid of the incompleteness of their life.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's what happens when they get something like that. But I'm not afraid. I'm afraid that I didn't come here to do what I came here to do. Well, that's absolutely true.
Right. No kidding.
Now,
wow.
This is why I love that. I will use, because I have a lot of heroes in my life. And one of them was Jack London, because I'm a writer. And this famous epitaph, which will be my epitaph. I would rather be a blazing comet, every atom of me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy and permanent planet. The proper purpose of man is to live, not exist. I shall not waste my days trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... So when I pass on, believe me, I'll be celebrating. It's like, I did it. I came here to do what I did. My God, it doesn't get much. Like William Blake singing songs. Yes. Onward and upward.
And the good news that I hear you saying and that I feel is appropriate is that this can begin instantaneously. There's no need for anybody to think, well, I can't do that now for whatever reason. This is an instantaneous shift within ourselves.
Absolutely true.
And it can happen this very moment because, as you point out, we're in the unified field, and it's just a realization, an awakening that's instantaneous. And once you make that shift, you never have to go back. You can instantly change your life.
Absolutely true. Now, look at it this way. Like the universe is screaming yes to you. Literally screaming yes to you. Most people are saying no.
That's right.
Because of unworthiness.
Yep.
Okay, I can't. I don't deserve it. That's why my mother didn't want me, or whatever it was. Okay,
right.
And you know, whatever. You know,
got a story that goes with the reasons why and why not.
Yeah. So guess what? The only antidote for unworthiness is
Loving yourself.
No, gratitude.
Oh, gratitude. Oh, right.
Yeah.
I should know that because of the 12-step programs.
Gratitude is the only antidote for unworthiness. And what's the only antidote for depression?
Oh.
That's a rhetorical question. It's an unfair question to ask you. It's because I know the answer. Okay.
All right.
Action!
All right. Yes. Well, that makes
action
total
is the
sense.
Only antidote for depression. So, the whole universe is screaming yes to you. Most people say no. So all you really have to do is say yes. That was my turning point when I said to myself, I'll never say no to myself again or allow myself to be controlled by fear.
Wow.
I don't really have any fear right now.
Wow.
I say yes to myself, and I realize something bigger than me is happening. Like that whole thing with Stan Krippner I told you about, when we didn't make a connection, and I couldn't leave the ranch, and I just listened, but okay. I'll go down and get hang out at the dining room, talk to this guy. I didn't know who the hell he was, but I showed up 100% and said yes to myself. He was Stan Krippner's chauffeur who made a total shift in consciousness. Stan Krippner became my mentor. The rest is history.
Yeah.
I could not have made that happen, Lance.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's an element of listening to your inner guidance as well, kind of an empathic, psychic tuning to the messages that are being broadcast. And you followed it, rather, you said yes, and you waited rather than blowing it off and saying, well, that's just ridiculous.
Yes, right, because you have to trust the unknown. The unknown is a loving plan in action. Remember now, the field exists, but it's beyond ego consciousness. So I love the fact that I don't know. I love the fact that I don't know. So it's like, and that way I can let it all unfold. So what's the magic, Lance? It's being totally in the moment.
Right.
That's what I did.
Huh.
I stayed in the moment. I can't leave. Okay, I can't leave. I trust that. I can't leave. So
and you're still in the moment.
Okay. I just stayed in the moment. Guess what? I got an entree to the field. So basically, it's about being totally in the moment, not in the past, not in the future, but in the moment. Then you can access the field.
Access
the field.
Wow. Amazing stuff. Amazing. It's so simple and so profound and so wise.
When the answers are simple, who was it said? Oh, Einstein said that. When the answers are simple, you hear God speaking.
Nice.
So that's basically it. It's all very simple. This is why these people have near-death experiences. When they come back, they're not afraid of dying. And they know it's all about love. I mean, how much wisdom pounded into our head that it's all about love? It is.
Right.
But you're going to have to love yourself first. And you've got to basically, first of all, take accountability for your life and realize all the decisions you made to shut your heart were your decisions. Doesn't matter what your mom and dad did to you. They couldn't have been any different than they were. You're the one that closed your heart. You're the one that decided being you was not enough. You're the one that made the decision to basically prove yourself versus be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what happens in my book.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get the gift. Is you being totally authentic and real, and you're the gift, and whatever. And the wonderful thing about my work is I have a chance to see these people when they come out from hiding. This is what I want to do. Good, go for it. They have a part to play. This is why when near-death experiences, they come back. I have something I'm supposed to be doing, and it's always something in service. That's why ego death. 8 stages of ego death. Denial. There's nothing wrong with me. Everything's fine. Who is this guy? Okay, two. Anger. All the games aren't working. Why are the games not working? 3. Bargaining. Well, I'll do this. I'll numb out the booze. Something like that. Or sex or whatever it is. I'll numb out. Okay. 4. When it doesn't work, depression. Oh, my God. It's hitting me. It's depression. Okay. 5. Acceptance. You accept. Okay, I'm feeling sad. I don't know why, but I'm just feeling sad. Okay, good. Surrender is the next step. Totally surrender. Completely surrender to the sadness. Trusting that underneath it, the joy, intention, purpose, and delight. What's the next step? Joy. Celebration. Oh, my God. What's going on? The pain. It's gone. I'm stuck. What's happening? It's a part of me. You can't do that being a victim. And what's the next step after that? Celebration. Service. I'm in service from a place of celebration. See, that's the big difference. Not basically from unworthiness, but from celebration. That's why Stan Krippner was my mentor, because he's doing the same thing. He's coming from celebration. You don't take yourself too seriously. You just realize, like a tree, you're performing your function in a loving plant. So you don't have to make it happen. So all my clients are directed to me. I don't advertise at all. And I realize each one of them is a gift. And I'm claiming the big gift, me.
Right.
By doing what?
Being authentic, being yourself.
being totally myself and trusting the unknown. I don't have to make it happen.
Wow.
Now, the ego always wants to make it happen. The soul say the magic, the message of the soul is surrender. Let go, it's already happening. Stay in the moment. You're sad. Okay, you might be sad at this moment. But recognize underneath it, the joy, intention, purpose, and delight. That's my magic, is that I can touch people at that level. I don't care how much sadness or anger they have, I can go underneath it, grab them by the hand, and say, you're coming out from hiding. And as soon as you go through maybe your first two fears, you're going to realize there's nothing to be afraid of. And then you're going to realize, as soon as you start taking some action in this, that the real coach is you, not me. And I'll become your friend forever.
Wow. Well, that is so beautiful. My goodness. You are just amazing. I had no idea what to expect with you tonight, and I'm just thrilled to have you share yourself with this audience, because we're all one, and we all need to get this. We all
This is not an accident, Lance.
No.
Our doing this tonight is not an accident.
Nope.
That's what I told Keiko. I said, this is a very important program, Keiko. I don't know why, but I just know it is.
Oh.
And there's no script or nothing.
Right.
This is nothing.
Right.
And I'm just kidding.
Right. We're just being ourselves on the telephone, talking live to thousands of people around the world, and this will impact and resonate in waves, and it will continue to do so because it will always be fresh and live in the moment, because it's the truth.
It's the truth.
It's the truth.
It's truth that shall set. That was in my second book, The Truth That Shall Set Everything Ablaze. That's what Tehard wrote. Sooner or later, there'll be a chain reaction, for the truth has to appear only once in one single mind.
Yep.
For it to spread universally and set everything ablaze.
Yeah.
The truth is, it's all about love.
Yeah.
It's all about love. God is love, and we are all. An evolutionary process in which we all participate as co-creators, which means this. Stop looking outside. You're God yourself. Would you please own your gift in the loving plan?
Well, you've definitely moved me forward tonight, that's for sure. And we just have a few minutes left, so I wanted to make sure that you had time to share whatever thoughts that you'd like to at the final moments, and also your website and whatever else you'd like to share with the listeners.
Sure. Everything, of course, I've been doing that all along, Lance.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Okay. My website is Alan Rowland, www.alanrowland.com. They can email me. You can email me at Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at Alan, A-L-L-E-N, Rowland, R-O-L-A-N-D.com. Also, if you want to be in my newsletter, you can do that. You just ask me, and I'll put you on the newsletter. You can call me at 707-935-1908, because not only do I see clients in my short-term theory, but I do telephone.
Wow.
Sessions, too.
Wow, and very.
Oh, yes. And obviously, I've done some incredible things.
Yes, obviously you're very effective on the phone because we're experiencing it tonight.
I'm very accessible, and I answer my own phone. So I really like the fact that I'm that accessible in what I do. But I would love, Noah, did you send me your email address?
Yes.
Good. Because I will send you my article that I'm doing tomorrow. I'll put you on my mailing list, Lance, and the one I'm doing on Stan Krippner. Now, I come from gratefulness. This is why I wrote this one about Stan Krippner. Because this is a wonderful man. I wanted to acknowledge him before he's 80 years old. I wanted to acknowledge him before he passed on. Not that he's that ill or anything, or ill at all. But I wanted to acknowledge him and let him know what a profound difference he made in my life. This is how I live. It's coming from gratefulness all the time. And there's not one person in my life that I haven't thanked. If anyone wants to really start this and start it fast, start coming from gratefulness and thanking the people in your life, and you'll be ahead of the game.
Well, Alan, I'm going to start with gratefulness and thank you for being on the show tonight.
And I want to thank you too, Lance. I have a feeling that basically it won't be the first time, or last time.
I have a feeling you're right.
Okay.
All right. Many blessings, Alan. Thank you so much. You're absolutely wonderful.
And you too, Lance.
All right. And good night,
Merry
everybody.
Merry Christmas.
All right.